Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Terry. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. I'll get there quick, well, not quickly, but here in a second. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Let there be light. Can you see this little spotlight over here? If you can, it's going to be the worst illustration known to man. Raise your hand if you can see it a little bit. Can you discern that it's there? If the person next to you can't see it, just say it's there, and they can use their imagination. Okay. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to be in verse 5, 6, and 7 this morning. I'm very excited what God has for us in this. And I'll explain what that light is. There's a game on my phone, and it's been a game for a while, but I came across this game. It's called the What If Game. In this game, did I hear a woo on that? Sydney. You can tell we've been playing it this week. I haven't spent a lot of time on it, hours, but I haven't spent a lot of time on it. What happens in this game is there's a what if. That's the title. So there's like an if. It's like, what if this? But you have to do this. And then at the very bottom of this game, there's a yes or a no. And it can be quite funny. I thought I would share this with you, some of them. This game kind of goes like this. So it says, what if you could save lives by loving those who need love the most, but it is usually the people who deserve it the least, yes or no? And so you pick yes or no, and it will show you the percentage of people who answer that way. There's a few more here. It says, what if you could take anything without being caught for it, but every time you took something, someone innocent was accused for it, yes or no? You'd be surprised how many people said yes on that one. What if, and I love this one, I've been dreaming about this one all week long. What if you had a magic carpet, but you are never allowed to get off of it? I put yes. What if you can live in your dreams, but you can never leave them? Maybe this sermon should be called Things That Make You Go, Just kidding. It should never be called that. Yes or no? You'd be surprised how many people would love for that to happen. I put no on that one. What if you get $2 million if you sink a putt from 4 feet, but if you miss, your arms fall off? Probably yes. What if you became twice as attractive but half as smart? Yes or no? Moving on. Let me pick a good one. Okay, here's one. I've experienced this one. I'll just read it. What if your lifespan is increased by 50 years, but you have to step on a Lego brick when you least expect it a couple times a day for the rest of your life? Have you ever stepped on a Lego brick? It's like stepping on a 12-inch knife that is the sharpest thing in the world. Am I the only one? It happens a lot because I play with my own Legos. So, yes or no? A couple more here. What if you could accomplish anything, but you had to sacrifice time, sweat, and tears to make it? Yes or no? The last one here. What if you could go... this is for my daughter, Mackenzie. She'll be mad that I just said her name. What if you go over 100 likes on every photo that you post on Facebook? See, I don't have to finish it. It's already funny. But you have to squint excessively and have your finger up your nose for all of the pictures. Yes or no? A lot of people put yes on that one. I know this is a funny way to look at this what if thing. But you know, what I realize is that sometimes we play these what if games. See, we have a lot of ifs, right? I can look through my life, and I'm sure that you can too, and say, what if I did this? What would have happened? You know, even through mistakes. Okay, what if I would have made a different decision? Would my life been any more different? Would I be able to experience anything else? See, and sometimes we get into a spiritual game of it. And that's what we see in this portion of Scripture. Let me give you this one. This is a spiritual twist on one. What if there was this unbelievable relationship with God that you could have, but you had to walk a different way to get it? Yes or no? See, in this portion of Scripture that we are looking at, in 1 John 1, 5 through 7, John has some what-if scenarios of his own. And I want to read that with you. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. Amen. And in him there is no darkness at all. It continues in verse 6 and it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. It continues in verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Amazing portion of Scripture that we have preserved for us this morning. See, John wrote this, one of the closest disciples of Jesus, part of Jesus' inner circle along with Peter and James. And he's writing this, and you need to get this, he's writing this to believers. Raise your hand if you are a believer, you consider yourself a believer. Well, when he's penning this, he's writing it to people like us. And he's writing it for a few reasons. See, what prompted him to write this letter was there were some false teachers that had been in the midst of those people, and they were throwing out lies and calling it truth. And these lies were damaging. How many know that lies are damaging? And some of these lies were denying that Jesus was the Christ or that Christ came in the flesh. Some of these other lies were that they taught that obeying Christ's commands, overcoming worldly desires, and avoiding evil, and get this, these things were not necessary for the believers to have a relationship with God. That's what this is. And so one of the questions that John penned in his letter was to address this very important question. How do believers have real fellowship and relationship with God? See, one of the biggest heresies going in that time was, and is making its way through the church, was it did not matter what people did with their physical bodies. As long as they had the right beliefs or the right knowledge about those beliefs, they felt that their physical actions, how they chose to live, a word that we are going to use is our lifestyle. They felt that their physical actions, how they chose to live, did not affect them spiritually. So John started to write this letter in response to this to help encourage his disciples, to help encourage his spiritual children, those people that he poured his life into. So he wrote this portion of Scripture and has some amazing what if. But can I tell you, the false teaching hasn't stopped. I mean, there's books released every week that deny the divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that denies his deity, that denies that he is who we believe and say this morning that he is. Those things still exist. There's a book that was released last week to simply state that Jesus was really just a man. So this isn't new. You know, we can relate. As John is penning this, and as he's writing this some 2,000 years ago, we can relate right now, because these same truths, these same lies are in the world and damaging everybody. A lot of people. I've had conversations with believers here last few weeks. And the question is, man, can we really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That changes absolutely everything if we don't believe that. And it affects our relationship with God. And so this is one of the reasons why John is writing this letter. And we're going to dig into this just a little bit here this morning. But we have to start where John starts. At the very beginning, in verse 5, he says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." We have to start there. God is light. Right there. Because the rest of the argument, the rest of the what-if scenarios in this portion of Scripture, they all depend on whether we see or whether we believe or whether we understand or whether we recognize that God is who he said he is and that God is light. Well, Steve, I went over this in Sunday school. Well, too bad. We need to see it shining brightly in our faces here this morning. So the first thing we need to see, what does it mean for God to be light? I'm going to be running back into the circle. Number one, because I need to lose weight, but because I'm going to use it as an illustration. So just, if you can't see it, just pretend there's a big light here, okay? To understand this powerful truth, we have to know what this means. See, the phrase, God is light, refers to God's character. It refers to God's moral purity. Can I tell you this morning, God is pure. Amen. Don't shout me down. God is pure. And what this means is he is free of contamination. He is wholesome. He is untainted by evil. He is untainted by immorality. That's our God. And he is holy. We just sang that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. He is holy. Don Stewart writes this. He says, "The idea behind the concept of holiness is separation. It comes from a word meaning to separate or cut off. God is separate or cut off from everything that is sinful and evil. He cannot tolerate sin." That's holy. God is completely separate from everything that is sinful and evil. And in God's sphere of light, it consists of truth. Absolute truth. That is such a thing today. There is a truth so powerful and so unwavering that it can be stand on or stood on and believed no matter what. It's absolute. It's true. Today, it's true tomorrow. It was true 5,000 years ago. It's true. God is light. So in that sphere of light, there consists truth. There consists true love. Only the love that God has, that agape love. That's what exists in that sphere of light. Guess what? There's righteousness there. There's purity there. And guess what? Because it's a part of God's character, it forms the basis of God's relationship with all of us. We have to understand that. So that is God is light. And guess what? John says, okay, just so I can double the impact of this, I'm going to state this. And he says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. See, the darkness is the complete opposite. Darkness, by definition, is the absence of light. It is darkness because light is not there. In the imagery that John is using, darkness are the things that run contrary to God. So if this is God's light and it's fear, there's truth, there's love, there's righteousness, there's purity, there's truthfulness. In the darkness, those things don't exist. There's selfishness, there's greed. There's lying, there's deceit, there's confusion. There's ignorance, there's error, there's evil, there's sin. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. John started with this truth because we have to understand, in God, in him is not the slightest degree of deficiency. Can I tell you this? lightness and darkness cannot coexist. No matter where the light is, darkness cannot be. The minute you light up a candle in a darkened room, what happens? A light might occur. The moment that you turn on an LED flashlight in a cave, what happens? Well, probably a light comes on. Right? We had a Nexus event down at Spring Mill. We were at one of these caves that's supposed to be closed. I think it was supposed to be closed. Well, some of these wonderful men, they'll go nameless, Shannon, Olson, Scalf. They decide to make their way into this cave. For a long time. All they had, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was Jacob had this little light on his head, you know, a little strap and a little light. And so, you know, we kind of see them go through this crack, and they're down the water, and they're just, you know, we're kind of just waiting there. And eventually the light is gone. And eventually Tia arrives. And the other ladies, and they're like, where are the men at? Because guess what? The whole group is waiting on these guys to get back. And a long time, they don't show up. Like a long time. And so we're all, okay, you know, what's going on? And Tia's like, are they dead? I mean, what's going on? It's all dark. I mean, you can't hear or see anything. And then after, I mean, it seemed like 3 or 4 hours. It probably wasn't that long. Probably like 15 minutes, but it seemed like a long time. Eventually, you saw this light penetrate the dark and make its way out. See, there is not a darkness that is dark enough to keep light out. Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. And see, the God that we believe in, the God that we serve, He is not a mere candle. He is not a mere flashlight that where the batteries can't go out and we have to recharge it. See, our God is a God that doesn't change. He's a God that is forever. He is a God that is always light. He's always shining. He's always who He says He is. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Come on. See, and you got to understand, John, when he wrote this, John knows the difference. John writes from personal experience. At the very beginning of this letter, in verses 1 through 4, it says stuff like this. 1 John 1 through 4, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. And listen to this. He says, the life appeared. Who is this life? The life appeared. We have seen it and we testify to it and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. And this is what he says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and what we have heard. And why? So that you may have fellowship, relationship. See, John was there in Luke 8 when Jesus stepped onto a shore and this man with many demons came before Jesus. He had been chained. It didn't work. And guess what? But yet here is Jesus on the shore. And guess what he did? He commanded the evil spirit to leave. What an amazing thing to watch. Well, John experienced that. Guess what? John was there in Luke 9, 37 through 45. In this account, Jesus healed a boy with an evil spirit. The evil spirit scarcely left the boy. That's what the word says. The father described it this way. In verse 39, he says, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into a convulsion so that he foams at the mouth. It is destroying him, but yet here is Jesus who rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. See, John knew firsthand what this meant for God to be light. See, he was there when Jesus walked on the water. He was there when Jesus calmed the winds and the wave. He was there when Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, he was there. He saw it so many times when there was a dark moment. Jesus came into that moment and nobody could stop the light from shining. There's no darkness dark enough to stomp out that light. God is light. And in him there is no darkness. We have to start there. And so we get into this first what if statement. In verse 6 it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. Here's this what-if statement, if it was in a game. What if you claim to have relationship with God, but continue to walk in darkness, yes or no? See, what's the claim? Let's focus on the first part of that verse. What's the claim? He says, if we claim, if we declare to have fellowship with him. Let's look at that word, a fellowship. It's a Greek word, koinonia. And it means to have close, mutual association, which means you're close to them and they're close to you. It means that this is someone with which you share intimate thoughts and feelings with. That's the claim. If you claim to have this a relationship, see, this isn't somebody that you walk in the aisle by them at Walmart and you say, hi. Well, I'm friends with them. I have a close relationship with them. What do you know? No, I just said hi to them. See, it's not somebody that you just accepted on Facebook to make sure you have a lot more friends. This is somebody that says, when I have fellowship, when I have relationship, I have close mutual association. I share my inmost feelings, and they know me completely, utterly, completely, they know me. He says, if we claim that we have that fellowship, that a relationship, but yet we walk in darkness. See, this image of walking, we have to get because he uses it. It says, we claim we have fellowship, but we claim we have relationship, and yet we walk. This word means to walk around, to walk up and down. You need to get the image of this person consistently walking and is attached to whatever. Okay, he says, if we claim to be over here, to be in this light, to have a fellowship and relationship, but really we are walking in darkness, guess what? It cannot happen. They do not coexist. Can't. So if you said yes to that, I'm sorry, John has given you a big no. Here's something that John is trying to get across here. See, this is about lifestyle. This word for walk means to inwardly and outwardly reflect the opposite. See, when we're saying we walk, this is what John is saying. If God is light and we say we have fellowship with him, then our lives should be a reflection of this light. And why? Because where there is light, darkness cannot exist. But if you are still walking in darkness, then this is what he says. Sorry, I mean, this is probably not your favorite part of this entire verse. He says, but if you are still walking in darkness, then you must be lying. I mean, he just throws it out there, doesn't he? He doesn't just say, hey, guy, kind of watch that. Can you just make sure next time you walk in the light? No, he says this. Hey, if you're saying that, you're lying. And then he says this. He says, and you do not live by the truth. Well, this is a very specific phrase. And John uses it very powerfully here. And it means this phrase for live by the truth means doing truth. And it means what he's saying is you are acting consistently with the truth. You are living it out. Which means if God says to love him more than anything else, guess what? By all that is within you, you are trying to do that. That's what doing truth is. It means I know the truth. I read the truth. I heard the truth. It was testified to me. I saw it. And I don't just know it, but I'm walking it out to the best of my ability. I'm doing truth. I'm walking in the light. I'm doing truth. That's what he's saying here. You can't say that you're over here in walking darkness because guess what? You have to be in the light. You have to choose to be in the light to actually live out the truth. To John, truth is something that is known and is acted on. See, the verse starts this comparison of walking in darkness versus walking in the light. What is walking in the light? Well, God's light expressed in the life of the believer. That's amazing. This walking in the light, it's characterized by, guess what? Truthfulness, righteousness, and love for one's fellow Christian. It's living out what God has spoken to us through His Word and seen in the life of His Son. It means to believe and accept God's truth as revealed in His Word. And walking in light is to make an earnest and sustained effort with His help to live by it. That's walking in the light. So what's walking in darkness? Well, guess what? It's real easy. Walking in the darkness is the exact opposite. It is living out what is contrary to the truth about God, expresses itself in deception, in lawlessness, in hatreds, or in hatred of one's brother. If you need a big idea, there's a couple of them in here. Just one phrase that you want to write down, that you want to hold on to, it's this. Our lives reflect what we are walking in. Our lives reflect what we are walking in. John believed very strongly that belief and behavior, principle and practice, are inseparably woven together. If you say you believe in something, guess what? Your behavior should reflect what you say that you believe. That's what he's getting at here. Why? Because there was a lot of people around those early Christians saying, hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. You, as long as you know the right words to say and you know the right truth, it does not matter about anything else. As long as you have knowledge, secret knowledge about the truth, it does not matter what in the world that you do. It's not going to affect your relationship with God. And so John is saying, hey, that's not right. It's not right. As believers, we need to consciously be aware of our relationship with God. We need to consciously have sober judgment of where we are at in the midst of this world with an almighty God. Right? I think so. This is John's point. You cannot say you have intimate and personal relationship with God, but still exist and walk where God cannot be. So what is one of God's truth that we are meant to live by then? If being in the light is being and submitting to and believing in and walking in God's truth, then what is one? Let's throw this one out here. What's the second greatest commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself? Should I just bypass that part? See, if we say that we are over here, what we're saying is we believe that. And we don't just know it, and we don't just believe it, but by the best that we can do, by the best that I can do, a wretch, by the best that we can do, I'm going to try my hardest with the help of the Holy Spirit to live by that truth. So when you say, God says the second greatest command is love your neighbor as yourself, then you can't be there and hold grudges. You can't be there and have unforgiveness. You can't be there and lie. And again, get this. This is lifestyle stuff. There's a difference between making a mistake on your journey and saying, this is where I want to set up residence and live. There's a difference. I think there is. Where in the world am I at? So on the other hand, if you say that's what I believe, you can't hold grudges, you can't ignore, you can't slander, you can't be unforgiving, and you got to want the best for the people. Because guess what? That's how I want to be treated. I want somebody to want the best for me. And can't you see it in what John what he was writing down here? Do you think John really wanted the best for these people? 100%. He doesn't write this so that he's like, huh, I'm going to write something really hard so you'll be mad at me for 2,000 some years. So guess what? God's truth, and you need to believe His truth. You need to live by it. Ha, 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 ha. No, he's like, I want the best for you. I want you to experience an intimate and a personal and amazing relationship with God because He's worth it. So here's another what-if statement. If you go to verse 7, so he starts off saying, yes, you know, if you say that you have fellowship with him, but yet walk in darkness, that's not right. But this is what he says, starting in verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. There's that word. Same word that we talked about earlier. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I don't know, but that's pretty good. He says, if we walk, guess what word he used for walk? Same word. Walking up and down and around lifestyle is what he's saying. If we walk in the light, he's saying if we inwardly and outwardly act like we are in the light, as he is in the light. Man, this is good. If we walk in the light as he did, how did Jesus walk in the light? See, John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follow me, guess what? Will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, Jesus, guess what? This is true. Jesus chose to walk in the light of his Father. And he became the ultimate testimony of that. Jesus was in full obedience to what the Father wanted him to do. It says in John 5:19, it says, Jesus gave them this answer. He says, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Guess what it says in John 12:49? It says, for I do not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken to you. And yet here's John saying, what I experienced, what I saw, what I heard, I testify it and proclaim it now unto you. That God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Just as it was laid out before John, firsthand through Jesus, guess what? Through the Word of God, it is laid out bare, open in front of his people years, thousands of years later. Preserved. Oh man, I love that. Preserved for us. So that when we come into a time and there's truth or something portrayed as truth that really is a lie, and we're saying, man, I don't know what to do. Is Jesus really who said it? Guess what? We have this word preserved for us that we can come back to. It says, yes, it was written to these believers long ago that God is light and in him there is no darkness. So that if I walk in the light as he is in the light, then guess what? I have fellowship. So what all these other people are saying, with all these other ways to God, is not true. This is true. This is true. Yet if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. There's that word again. We have intimacy. We have mutual association and close relationship with the creator of all we see and experience. But how? How do we walk in the light then, right? That's what you're saying. Okay, Steve, you just told me I have to live by that truth. Well, oh my, I am imperfect. Who's imperfect? Raise your hand. I need to take a picture of this. Gene, come on. I'm waiting on you. Gene's like, I'm totally perfect. I just sit here. I'm perfect. I'm the most perfect Royal Ranger leader who's ever existed. How can we do this? I am imperfect and God is perfect. So how can I possibly be here? How can I possibly have a relationship with a God that is pure, with a God that's holy? How can we do it? Are we still going to make mistakes? As believers, are we still going to make mistakes? Everybody shake your head. Yes, it's going to help you later. Yeah. But here's how. Oh, this is awesome. This is how. It's in the phrase. The key is found in the phrase, the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sin. This is what this means. John is not referring to Christ's work in our justification or Christ's work in making us a righteous. This is what he means here. He is referring to Christ's daily, moment by moment ministry in our sanctification. And this is what it means. He's referring to the ongoing work of separation from the world and devotion unto God. He's referring to the ongoing work of refinement, of growth, of development, of maturity, and preparation for God's work and purpose. This is what he's saying here. Can I tell you what? Jesus is still doing a work in your life. still doing a work. As a believer, do we mess up? Shocker, yes. We do. But because as believers, we have chosen to walk in the light, we get to continually experience the benefit of Jesus' cleansing work on the cross. The continual purifying allows us to have intimate companionship with God. That's how it works. We can't do it. So guess what happens? And we all have some amazing stories. Thanks, Carrie. We do. We all have a story. My story of coming to Christ is different from yours, but the story is just as powerful. So guess what? We all had this moment at one point when we realized where we were at before we were saved. We realized we didn't have God, and we realized we really needed God, and the pain of staying the same was more than the pain of change. So we said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay my life down at the altar. I'm going to lay my life down at the foot of the cross. I'm going to give my life over to Jesus Christ. Bam! Awesome. But here's what's so great. You know, at one point in time, Jesus came before John and said, follow me. Okay? And guess what John did? You all should know this by now. Just in case you didn't, he followed Jesus. Well, guess what? When you gave your life over to Christ, guess what Jesus did to you? Follow me. Follow me. Where there was a separation from the light, there is no more. And guess what? As you choose to follow me, as you choose to walk out truth, guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to continually purify your life. When you make a mistake, when you mess up on this amazing journey with Christ, Jesus is right there saying, okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you be with the Father. Guess what? I'm going to purify you. I'm going to continue to help separate you from the world and devote you unto God, because God has an unbelievable purpose and work for your life. Yeah, this is John. He's saying, okay, you know, and I guarantee John believed this for every believer there. And John said, okay, I know what the world is telling you. But here's what the truth is. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And don't ever, ever live with the lie. So this is what you need to believe. And that is, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then the relationship, the close mutual relationship with God is there. And yes, you will never be perfect. But as long as you walk with Christ, as long as you say, yes, I choose to follow him, guess what's going to happen? He's going to help your imperfection. When I mess up and somebody comes down the wrong way of the Walmart parking lot, because you know what happens? And I might, under my breath, say, idiot. I'm telling somebody else's story. I don't ever do that. As we mess up on this journey, we're all going to mess up. The point is, who are you walking with? Because guess when you're walking with Jesus, he can take you aside and say, hey, you know what? You probably shouldn't have done that. And I'm going to help you next time. Because I want to be strong where you are weak. As we walk in the light, we are becoming more and more like the light, because he is still in the process of changing us. Hallelujah. So what do we choose? See, relationship. How many of you desire relationship with God? I mean, really. Close, mutual. Association. Relationship, the one that we only exists and experiences in one way of walking. John is focused on lifestyle. Lifestyle, if you look up the definition of it, it's the way in which we choose to live. So knowing that, you could sum up John's teaching this way. If the direction of your life is toward the source of light, guess what? You will find a forgiveness for your failures and your inadequacies, and you will find yourself being transformed every day. But if the direction of your life is toward the darkness, then you may be sure, you may experience that you are not where God has designed and created you to be. So we come to the biggest what-if statement of them all. What if you could live your life in intimate companionship and relationship with God, but you had to lay your life completely at His feet and choose to walk in the light? Yes or no? That's all of our choices every day. And today, I believe some of us need to make a different choice. Because the very thing that we long for, the very thing that we desire, comes from walking in here.